Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hey, what are you up to?
Oh, hi. I'm listening to this awesome podcast.
Ooh, I love finding awesome new podcasts. What is it about?
Well, it's about a bunch of things. Sometimes history, sometimes hauntings, sometimes it's spooky, and sometimes it's funny, but it's always interesting.
Ooh, okay, that sounds great. What's special about it?
Well, each week, Celine picks a topic and reads it, and Matt creates a pairing of a treat and a drink to go with this peculiar tale.
And they
talk about it, and they joke about it.
Hold on.
And sometimes they have guests and have even more fun.
Wait a second.
What?
That's our podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
Why are you listening to our podcast?
Well, you know, we're heading into the long dark of winter, and that can make some people feel kind of isolated, and listening to Peculiar Pairings is a great way to feel like you're hanging out with good friends at the push of a button.
Well, that actually sounds really nice. Kind of sounds like everyone should be listening to Peculiar Pairings.
You know, I couldn't agree more.
So if this sounds like it's piqued your interest, you should search Peculiar Pairings podcast on your favorite podcasting platform today.
Yeah, we're everywhere. Come check it out.
Find us. We're there.
I'll go into your van, witchy woman.
I'm Nave from Ireland.
And I'm Emily, living in Chicago.
And we have never met in real life.
Fortunately, you don't need to live on the same continent to make a spooky podcast.
So that's exactly what we did. We created Ronan Pine, our folklore, mythology, and spooky stuff podcast.
You can find us on your favorite platform, and we already have over 35 episodes ready to binge.
Don't forget the spooky shorts.
Right. We also have a bunch of short episodes, if that's what you're into.
Come on, get spooky with us, and frick yeah, folklore.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us once again. Today we have a special guest, David. Say hi, David.
Hi, David. Oh. What's up, guys? How
feel
y'all
doing? Plug
everybody.
All your stuff, anything you want. Just get
yeah,
out,
David, tell us where you're from and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and I'm David from down the rabbit hole. I have a page on Instagram and Facebook and Threads and TikTok, and good God, I could go on YouTube. It's called Down the Rabbit Hole, and it's mainly about paranormal, unexplained, you know, anything that's ghosts, haunted houses, aliens, UFOs, Bigfoot, you know, all that stuff.
And, all the stuff we like.
Down our alley. Yeah.
It's definitely down everyone's alley, apparently, because I'm lucky enough to have over 330,000 followers right now.
Holy
Very
crap.
Proud of that.
Wow.
You know, I'm
that's
so
awesome. Amazing.
And you guys know me because Amanda and I were on your show.
You've been on before.
Yeah. One Nothing was on. So, you know, I'm a co-host on that show. And that's going really well. We're in a hiatus at the moment, which is really cool.
Nice.
I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm also on another show. You guys know Kevin Sapiel Jr. from Where the Weird Ones Are?
Little bit.
Yeah. So he
just in passing.
Yeah. He's great, man. He is. We have a show called Weird Java in the Morning. We do it every other Sunday. And it's like a little game show type of thingy. It's got like, we do little trivia things, and it's just a good time.
I've heard you talk about it, but I haven't. I keep forgetting to check it out. But I've heard you talk about it several times.
Oh yeah. Oh, so definitely go to Where the Weird Ones Are on YouTube, and click on live and you can see all our episodes. It's really
Okay, that's fun.
So you can definitely check it out. Yeah, because I know it's really early in the morning and people are still asleep. So
well, and us Pacific Coasters, we are probably really still asleep.
Yeah. So like, we have a segment on there with Like Mother, Like Murder, and they're a mom-centric podcast. They do a segment that's about missing people, and Heather is in California with you guys, right? Y'all in California?
Oregon.
So she's in California Pacific time, and Rachel's in Kentucky. So Rachel will be there with us because we're around the same time, and Heather is asleep.
Yes. So,
I get it. Also, I have just started my own podcast called David Don't Know.
I've listened to that. I've binged it. It's great.
Thank you so much.
About it.
Great listen.
So, you know, One Nothing is great show, but it's about true crime. It's about animal attacks. It's about bizarre deaths. And then the show I do with Kevin's about, like, we're just having a good time. And I thought, I need to do what my page is all about, which is paranormal. I want to talk about this stuff, you know? And I've always taken the, I'm a skeptic by nature. That's where I come from. But there have been a few things where I've actually, someone has proven something to me, you know what I'm saying? So I come from this area where I really don't know what the truth is, you know. On my page, I won't say something is real, because how do you say something is real if you don't have the proof?
Right.
You know what I mean?
If you didn't see it with your own eyes, yeah.
Right. And so I just say it's unexplained. And that's where the idea for the podcast came. And I wanted to call it Down the Rabbit Hole or Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole, but there are so many Down the Rabbit Hole shows out there, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I just went with David Don't Know. And yesterday I just recorded with a guy who is really, I mean, to me, I'm a big fan of his. His name is Jonathan Bettis Galvan, and he is the guy behind Latinos Against Spooky Shit. I don't know if you've ever seen that guy.
I haven't seen that.
He's hilarious. You guys have got to check him out. I recorded with him yesterday, and it was amazing. I can't wait for that show to come out. It's going to be July 31st when it drops. So
nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. My birthday.
Declan's birthday.
Wow. Yeah. How old are you going to be, Declan, if you don't mind me asking?
24, I think.
Oh my God. With the asterisk. So
24, I think.
I know.
Whoa, why with an asterisk? What happened? Is there something behind it?
Whenever people ask how old I am, they just, my brain can't decide if I'm 23, 24. 22, 25. I just
32.
Yeah. It happens. I'm 53, so I'm like, Jesus, way older than me. And it happens now, so I'm like 52, 53.
Yeah,
I'm actually 54. Yeah, 53.
It's just not something you think about regularly. I don't really think about how old I am. Alrighty, Mom. What story do you have for us today?
I'm going to let you go first so that I can go into mine with my cocktail.
Oh, yes. You have the drink.
So what story do you have for us?
I'm going to be talking about the Trump family.
Whoa.
Trump?
Not our current president. Trump. T-R-O-M.
Trump. Love it.
Okay.
Yes. It's a very interesting, unexplained thing that happened. What are you going to be talking
about? I was going to say... yours is the bizarre, so
yes,
it should be interesting.
Some bizarre behavior from an entire family. So,
ooh, a whole family.
It's very interesting.
Okay, cool. Well, my story is about a convicted murderer. We'll leave it at that. And there is an asterisk behind this convicted murderer. But to go with this story, I brought the Gordon's Cup cocktail. And the ingredients are right up our alley for sure. I saw this and was like, oh yeah, let's make that because it's going to be delicious. So it's 2 ounces of gin, 3/4 of an ounce of lime juice, 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup, 3 to 4 cucumber slices, 1 to 2 thin sliced coins from a lime. I thought that was an interesting way to say it. And then salt and pepper, which we've never had in a cocktail before, so that would be fun. The steps are to combine the gin, lime juice, simple syrup, cucumber slices, and lime coins in a shaker with ice. Shake hard for 6 to 8 seconds and fine strain into a rocks glass over fresh ice. Add lime wedges and or cucumber slices to the glass. And then with the salt and pepper, you add a pinch or two of salt and pepper to the glass and then stir to combine. So a lot of weird stuff in this cocktail.
Wow. So I took a creative liberty with this and I decided to muddle the lime and the cucumber in the shaker because I felt like just shaking it wouldn't do much. And it looked fine at first, but this has been sitting on the desk for a couple minutes now, and all the seeds and cucumber pulp, I'm assuming is what it is, has floated to the top, and it looks like pond scum on top of my cocktail. So this is something you want to drink quick.
So it's real appetizing.
It turns interesting looking. And yeah. Okay.
Well, I did not take creative liberty because I wanted to see how the cucumber would come through by just shaking it. Mm. And we're going to find out. So let's go.
Let's give it a try.
I taste the cucumber.
So really interesting. It almost tastes like watermelon with the simple syrup and the cucumber. It's almost like a watermelon-y flavor, which is really interesting.
A not sweet watermelon.
No, it's just like, it's hard to explain, but it's pretty tasty. I don't know if I'd order another one, but it's pretty good.
I like it.
It's just not up my alley. Yeah, you probably won't be able to see it, but there's just like a layer of like white
foam,
like translucent, not foam. It's like jelly almost, like the inside part of the cucumber. No, it's like kind of jelly-ish consistency.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Just kind of floating up top up there. But
maybe that's really why they say not to muddle it. Because I really do get the cucumber.
You get pond scum.
Right. It's not probably as strong of a cucumber flavor as yours is, but I don't have pond scum on my drink.
If you don't look at it, it's a pretty good drink. But
I like the salt and pepper in it, too.
Yeah, it gives it a little, more complex flavor.
Yeah, we like complex. Speaking of complex, this is a complex story. So thanks for the tie-in on that, Declan. For this story, we're going to Hawaii. David, have you ever been to Hawaii?
No, but I want to go. But I hear it's super expensive, so maybe not.
It is.
It is. It's not a food capital city of the world. I'm a big foodie, and I was kind of disappointed with the food there.
Hmm. Yeah. So Hawaii is where we're going, and our subject of the story is Gordon Cordero, thus the drink that I chose, the Gordon's Cup. He was a helpful son and brother in his family of 5. He was born in 1974 to parents Dennis and Paulette and was their only son. He had 2 younger sisters, and the family lived on the island of Maui in Hawaii, which Declan, you don't remember it because you were 2. But that was the last time I was in Hawaii.
Maui is the big island?
No, the big island is Hawaii.
Okay.
Maui's
smaller one. Yeah, no, I don't remember Maui.
No, you were on Oahu.
Yeah.
The last, when you went last summer.
For my buddy's wedding. That was, yeah. Yeah.
As a child, he was active in church and enjoyed building models. The family had several animals and he was good at taking care of them. When Gordon was 16, his mother was diagnosed with ALS, but the family came together and made a concerted effort to take care of her. She stayed at home and everybody just came together and helped care for her so that she could be there. He stayed close to home and was known to be a dedicated caretaker for his mom. In August of 1994, when Gordon was 20 years old, a murder occurred in what was called the Skid Row area of Maui. And I saw some news footage of the area, and when I think Skid Row, I think like LA, inner right. city, dirty, yucky streets.
That's where Skid
lots
Row
of people.
Is. Yeah, it's,
yeah,
it's LA downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This in the pictures was like forest.
Oh. Hmm.
Jungly stuff. It wasn't in the middle of the city.
So why are they calling it Skid Row?
I don't know. It was very interesting to me. The victim in the murder was Timothy Blaisdell. Many people called him Timmy. He was in his early 20s as well. He lived with his parents and worked at an auto body shop. At the time, Timmy was looking to buy a pound of marijuana. I don't know why you need a pound. At that time in the 90s, that was about $800 worth of marijuana. Maybe he was going to have a party.
Inflation.
Or maybe he was going to sell it. I don't know.
Maybe he wasn't familiar with the terms, or maybe he wasn't familiar with like how many he just went.
Yeah,
because I don't know, a pound.
I'll take a pound.
When you think of a pound of weed, you don't think of that much volume, but it's about a garbage bag, like a third of a garbage bag full.
It's huge.
It's a lot.
Yeah. That's that. I don't even know how long that would take to go through that all by yourself.
Can I get a? Is it possible to get a ton of cocaine? Is that possible? Can we do that?
I don't know.
One ton. That's
one ton.
One ton.
Can I get
a car size? Yeah, half a car's worth.
Wow, a pound.
I don't know. It's a lot. So Timmy had a friend, Michael Freitas, who said he could hook him up with the purchase. Always nice to have a helpful friend. On that fateful night in mid-August, Timmy agreed to a meeting near an old dirt road. That was essentially our Skid Row reference.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, Timmy didn't make it out of the meeting alive, and his body was found at the bottom of a nearby ravine just a few hours after the murder occurred. To the police, the murder appeared to be a drug deal gone wrong, and Freitas became the prime suspect. Mm. As would be expected if you hook the guy up and, you know.
Logically, yeah, that's where I would go.
Yeah. In the days after the murder, Freitas began shifting responsibility, implicating Gordon, our helpful son, whose mom has ALS. He was telling police that Gordon was a drug dealer and that he must have been the one that murdered Timmy. The police bought the story. I don't know why. But Freitas told them that Gordon had shot Timmy and then forced him, Freitas, to carry Timmy's body to the ravine at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. So Freitas' story is Gordon met with Timmy. Drug deal didn't go well, killed Timmy, and then made Freitas carry Timmy's body and dump it in the ravine.
Wow. Okay. I'm having a little trouble with the first thing, and I think Declan might back me on this one. I'm sorry it's the victim, but I keep hearing in my head, Timmy. Are you hearing this? You know, Timmy. You know what I'm saying? I can't get past that. How old was he again? Why are they calling him Timmy? He's not a child, right?
Right. He was in his early 20s. You'd think, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he hadn't grown out of it yet.
I guess not. But yeah, that and the fact that I don't see where Gordon comes into this. It's kind of crazy.
It but is.
You're going to get to it. Yay.
Yes. Police. I don't know why police believe this, but crazy. They did. The idea was that it's the idea that Freitas pinned it on Gordon. People think now that Freitas thought Gordon had snitched on a mutual friend in an unrelated drug investigation. So Freitas was like, oh, Gordon snitched, so I'm going to make him the fall guy.
Right.
Believing Freitas' story, police arrested Gordon a few weeks later in September of 1994, about a month after his mother died. So... Unfortunately, fortunately for the mom, she didn't know anything bad was going to happen to her son, but he's dealing with the death of his mom who he'd been caring for, and now he's arrested.
That sucks.
He got to go to her funeral, though, because it was after he was arrested after she died.
Potentially. I'm not sure because it might have been too close in time, but I don't know. There wasn't much physical evidence against Gordon, but the prosecution proceeded with a trial anyway. Gordon's defense attorneys kept emphasizing that there was no DNA evidence and no eyewitnesses. The lack of evidence made a difference, and the trial ended in a hung jury, with only one juror wanting to convict him.
Wow.
But the prosecution wasn't done. They thought they had a good case, so they took him to trial again. The second trial took place with a difference in the lineup of witnesses. This time, they had four jailhouse informants, a.k.a. snitches, a.k.a. gonna get stitches. And they played a major part in the story. There were claims that from inside the jail, Gordon had developed a murder-for-hire plot and drawn a map to the person's house that he wanted killed. This big scheme was all in an effort to have the key witness against him killed. That witness was Michael Freitas. So essentially, Gordon, their story, these informants, their story is that Gordon said, okay, I want Freitas to be taken out. I'm going to draw you a map of where he lives and let's go get him killed. All of the informants were given reduced sentences for their own personal crimes as a thank you for their testimony against Gordon. This time the jury was swayed by this terrible murder plot and this damning testimony. And in 1998, Gordon was convicted of second-degree murder, first-degree robbery, and attempted first-degree murder. He was sentenced to life without parole.
Damn.
How do you get second-degree and attempted first-degree? That doesn't...
I'm wondering if maybe the attempted first-degree was in... I'm not sure. I don't think
corrupt
that
prosecution.
Was
that's the, how you get that.
Unless they did his attempted murder of Freitas, the key witness. Maybe.
Now, was there any proof of this attempt?
There was supposedly the map these four guys that testified. The map's going to come in to play later, but... That was the gist of it. These four guys testifying and this map to Freitas.
Can I say
house.
That Freitas, somewhat a genius to, because let's face it, if you level out this whole thing and you probably think he did it, right? Because he's the one who moved the body. His prints are on it. His DNA is on it. But if you say, oh, wait, no, the reason why is this guy had me at gunpoint. I had to do it. That's the only reason why. Wow.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And the cops are just like, oh yeah, you're probably not lying. You're our main suspect. There's no way you would lie to us and tell us it was somebody else and not you that did it.
Right.
Uh-oh. I mean, come on.
Very sad.
Gordon maintained his innocence for decades. Finally, the Hawaii Innocence Project took his case. They began re-examining old evidence, witness records, trial transcripts, and lab work. They found some major problems with the original case. First of all, the jailhouse informants. Using informants in those circumstances has been known to be problematic because they often exaggerate under the promise of leniency. Because why wouldn't they? If right. you're going to give them a lesser yeah. sentence for making up some bullshit and testifying to it.
I'll tell you whatever
it,
you want to hear, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure, exactly. He definitely killed him. He told me.
Yeah, it was totally him. I saw the whole thing. Of course, it made their testimony very suspicious, and they later ended up changing some of their stories anyway. So after the fact, they recanted. They're like, I'm not quite sure what happened. And the map that I mentioned that was supposedly drawn by Gordon to show where Freitas lived was proven by handwriting experts to not have been made by Gordon. So the map was bullshit. The testimonies were bullshit.
Freitas, you genius.
Right?
Yeah.
Another problem they noticed was that Gordon had an alibi.
Oh.
But why was his alibi negated just because these four snitches, I don't know, apparently it was. Multiple eyewitnesses saw Gordon building shelving and installing a stereo at his family's house that day. He was in the garage all day. And he had receipts from local lumber yards that supported his timelines. So they could prove where he was throughout the day and that he couldn't have been there. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems with the prosecution's case was the fact that there was still no physical evidence against him. There were no fingerprints, fibers, or clothing tying him to the scene. So the Hawaii Innocence Project, using current technology, had DNA run on Timmy's pants. And the DNA turned out to be the crucial factor in getting Gordon exonerated. Going back to the original story, the victim was wanting to buy a giant chunk of marijuana, and he had about $800 in cash on him. The pants he was wearing the night of his death were examined for DNA. Specifically, they looked at the pockets because they were looking for whoever killed him, took the money out of his pockets. So they tested for trace DNA on the pockets and the pants. And there was DNA found.
Yep.
But it was not Gordon's. It was also not Freitas' DNA.
Oh, snap. I didn't expect that.
Neither did I. I was like, oh, it's got to be him. Shit. Nope.
It was
not him.
It was Diddy's. It was Diddy's, wasn't it?
Probably. Yep. Probably. Different kind of DNA left, I think, besides trace DNA. I think that was something a little bit more milky.
What's all this baby oil doing over here? What the hell?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Jesus Christ.
In February 2025, a judge ruled that the DNA evidence would likely affect a new trial, and she vacated his previous convictions. He was set free from prison after serving about 30 years on a wrongful conviction.
Did 30 he get restitution?
Years. Well, yeah. He is eligible to get paid for all of those years, and the figure I saw was about $1.5 million that
that's
he could sue for.
That's not worth it.
That's low. Not worth it. For 30
yeah,
years,
I think it was
not.
Like
30 years. Oh
I think
my
it was
God.
$50,000 a year. is what I was reading.
That's it? Oh my God.
Yeah.
What ethnicity?
Declan, he was in prison longer than he'd been alive.
Yeah.
That's nuts. For real. Alrighty, aside from our technical difficulties, we're back again, and this time we're going to be talking about the Trump family.
Trump. Okay.
Trump.
Trump.
The Trump family lived an unremarkably peaceful life in Sylvan, Victoria, in Australia. A quiet rural town known for its rolling hills, cherry orchards, and a sense of small-town serenity. The family ran a successful red currant and berry farm. To outsiders, they seem like a modern, tight-knit unit with no financial or legal troubles. The parents Mark and Jacoba Trump were in their early 50s, and their three adult children, Brianna, 29, Mitchell, 25, and Ella, 22, still lived at home working on the farm. They weren't tech-obsessed or overly social, but no one thought they were odd. If anything, they were just a low-key and private, hard-working, self-sufficient, religious, but not cultish. Nothing to see here until there very much was.
I love how you threw in the not cultish part.
Not cultish, yeah. They're religious, but not cultish. We kind of tread the line on this podcast of religion and culty.
Religion and cult. We've had so many culty things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's it's so very easy to bleed cult and religion, but they were just normal people.
Just religious folks, not culty folks. I like it. Okay.
So they weren't, they were just a normal family until August 2016, when the Trump family quietly left their home, disconnected from reality, and embarked on one of the strangest road trips Australia has ever seen.
Okay.
On Monday, August 29th, 2016, without telling anyone, the entire Trump family packed into their silver Peugeot SUV and hit the road. No warning, no bags, no phones, no credit cards. They left absolutely everything behind in their home.
What?
So, you could think that maybe they were just, like, going on a short trip then.
But they left all their wallets, IDs, passports, everything.
Yeah, I take my wallet and my ID to short trips all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
Because if you get pulled over, you need your ID.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works in Australia. Maybe they can just say your name and look you up that way, but you have to have
your ID.
Well,
you can do that here. You can do that here.
If you know your license number, though.
I know my license number.
I don't.
Me too.
It's on my license. Why do I need to know it? I just pull it out.
I memorized it.
It's the same number since I was 16 years old, and I've memorized it since then.
Oh,
exactly.
We don't remember that as Gen Z or whatever I am.
I know. David and I are very close in age, so yes. I thought you were younger than me, David. So
I think I'm older than you, Generation X.
Yes, same. You're just a year older than me.
Yay.
So what's weird about their excursion, we can call it, is that they didn't all leave at the same time. According to reports, Mark and Jacoba were the most paranoid, believing someone was out to get them. They convinced their kids to come with, insisting that the family was in danger and that their phones were being tracked and that they had to escape together. The family drove north from Victoria towards New South Wales, over 1,000 kilometers of open road ahead. By the time the journey ended, the family would be scattered across three towns, with two missing and one hospitalized for mental health.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So after the family left, strange behaviors started immediately. So on Monday, August 29th.
Strange behavior started before they left.
So the Trumps hit the road early, driving towards Bathurst, about 8 hours north.
And somewhere along the way, they realized Mitchell had brought his phone, breaking the rule of total disconnection.
Uh-oh.
Mark and Jacoba forced him to throw it out of the window of the car.
Okay.
Later that night, the family checked into a motel in Bathurst under assumed names, but still together. Something was clearly wrong. These kids appeared anxious. Jacoba was reportedly nonverbal and dazed. The family told the motel owner they were on the run.
Who tells anybody that? You don't tell anybody that. If you think you're getting tracked.
So on day two, August 30th, Mitchell had had enough and decided to leave the group, making his way back home to Victoria by train. The remaining four, Mark, Jacoba, Rihanna, and Ella, continued their mysterious escape, heading east towards the Ginolan Caves deep in the Blue Mountains. But along the way, Ella and Rihanna took the keys while their parents weren't looking, abandoning them, and drove off in the family car.
What?
So the kids were like, fuck you, Mom and Dad. You guys are going crazy. We're taking the car and going back home.
What the hell?
Okay.
So Ella and Rihanna eventually drove 400 kilometers south to Goulburn and then back to Victoria, stopping at a police station to report their parents missing. But surprised, the police quickly realized they were the ones who were missing and they were searching for. So they realized the family had gone missing, and these kids show up at the police station and report their parents missing.
You know what's weird about that is if you leave your parents behind, why are you going to report them missing?
Yeah.
You know where they are.
That's the weird part. Yeah.
You left their ass.
That's weird, dude. That's so bizarre.
Some kind of.
So, this is like some weird drug thing.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I was thinking. Like, they got into some magic mushrooms or took. They're on the MK Ultra train.
On day three, August 31st, things went fully off the rails. Rihanna was found in the back of a stranger's truck in Goulburn, seemingly catatonic, unable to explain who she was or why she was there. She was taken to the hospital and later placed under mental health evaluation. Ella, oddly, seemed totally coherent. She drove the family car back to Sylvan, where police were already at the Tromps' property. She gave interviews, admitted the trip was a disaster, and said she wasn't sure what had come over them. Back where her parents were, Jacoba was found wandering 60 kilometers away in Yas, disoriented and unstable. She was also taken to a mental health facility. By the end of the third day, only Mark Tromp remained missing. So all were accounted for because their son left, took the train because his parents are crazy, threw his phone out the window.
He's like, I needed my phone.
Left the folks, drove back. The wife was found. Just the husband is gone.
Okay.
Mark was finally spotted by a young couple in, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, Wangaratata.
Okay.
Acting erratically.
I think you said it right.
He apparently had stolen a car, abandoned it, and then run into the woods. Couple said he looked panicked, dirty, and confused. Later that night, Mark broke into a home and then fled again when he was caught.
What? It's
day
happening.
Five, on September 3rd, after almost a week on the run, Mark was found walking along a road near Wangaratata Airport and turned himself in. He was questioned by police but not charged with any crime. So what happened to the Tromp family? No drugs were found, no evidence of cult activity, mind control, or outside influence. There was no sign of violence or foul play, and yet all five family members simultaneously disconnected from reality, left their lives behind, and went on a mission that even they couldn't explain. The leading theory is shared psychosis.
Okay.
A rare condition occurs when a dominant person, usually a parent or older figure, experiences a psychotic break, and close family members absorb their delusion. It's more common in isolated families or tight-knit religious groups. In this case, Mark and Jacoba are thought to have experienced a paranoid episode, believing their family was being watched, tracked, or threatened, and their children fell into the same fear. Because if you live your whole life just believing every word your parents say, if they're like, oh, someone's going to get us, you'd think someone's coming to get you. So that would make sense to me.
Is this an explanation for our family drama?
No, I don't. I think there's too many kids to fall into that.
No, the one on the East Coast, the newest family drama.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I've only interacted with him a handful of times, so I don't really know. But
I don't know. I think that bitch is crazy. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to name names, but well, people who know us and know the story
would agree. Our family is listening right now.
Yeah.
So the stress from farm work, financial worries, and isolation could have created the perfect storm and in a tendency for avoidance and distrust of technology, and you've got a recipe for delusion. Interestingly, yeah. Mitchell, the middle child, was first to separate, possibly because he had the strongest external ties. He reportedly had a girlfriend and more social connections outside the home. Ella and Rihanna took longer, and their reactions varied widely, with Rihanna having a full mental collapse.
Wow.
Yeah. After a brief media firestorm, the family went completely silent. Jacoba and Rihanna both spent time in a mental health care facility, but were eventually released. None of the family members faced charges, and none of them had given an in-depth interview about what happened. In a brief public statement, Mitchell Trump called the trip a bit weird, but said he believed his parents were just mentally unwell at the time and asked for privacy and said the family was trying to move forward.
Wow.
So just a super weird.
So there was never any indication of an outside explanation.
Yeah.
No explanation. Weird.
But it's weird that both the parents were like, oh, someone's coming for us. We need to, they're tracking our phones, and they couldn't find out what caused them to think that way, which is super bizarre.
Okay. Not to throw the family drama in the middle of it. Yeah. I feel like it's very similar circumstances where one person is just a very strong personality and says, this is what's happening, and tells everyone else. And the other two weaker personalities are like, she must be right. And they just go along with it.
Well, so yeah, weird. For sure.
Seen it firsthand. I don't know that, or I also don't know if the person that is the strong personality that I'm in reference to is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, or
what do you mean if you she don't know? Really, yes, you do know she's fucking crazy.
Okay. Does, when I say crazy and cuckoo, does she believe the shit that she's telling people, or
yes,
is 100%.
She, or else she wouldn't be saying it.
I don't know. You saw the videos.
I mean,
I know
we're referencing a family member getting arrested for being served an eviction letter and not leaving.
Oh, wow.
So we don't beat around the bush. And the video is her berating the cops, calling them felons because they're serving her an eviction letter. That seems like she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
And if it were that only as an isolated incident, I wouldn't question it too much. But there's been at least 6 years of her making statements about, we got in a car accident, they were trying to kill us, it was the federal government hiring a hitman to come after us. Whoa. That kind of bullshit.
They need to change from lead pipes to steel ones, whatever they use.
You might be right.
Holy crap.
They got Mad
Maybe
Hatter
they need
syndrome.
To evaluate the water system on that base.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's just a weird story.
That is a
no explanation from the family
Declan.
At all. You think like
do you have any do you have any theories? Like, the first thing I think of is someone contacted either him or both the dad and the mom and said, "This is what you have to do. This is what you need to do now." And they just went with it and didn't tell the kids.
I wonder if it was like, because it happened in 2016, which is fairly recent. I wonder if it was like some kind of scam call that they like had all their personal information and they were like, oh, you need to pay us this or else we'll expose all your family secrets or something like that.
You might be right, Declan.
Could be.
Because they made them ditch all their phones. They're like, they're tracking our phones. They know blah, blah, blah information. And
who?
That seems the most likely to me.
Was it the dad that was more invested in the story or the mom that was more invested? Which one do you think sold the story to the rest of the family?
I think it was probably both of them. But from the reports I saw, the mom was always like a catatonic, just like wide-eyed deer in the headlights type thing. So I wonder if like,
I bet you it was the dad.
They both freaked out and then the wife just kind of went catatonic as a stress response. And the dad was like, okay, all I have to do is get my family out of the home or something like that.
I bet you. Okay, here's a theory. I don't know if this was happening as much in 2016 as it definitely is right now. When you say something and your phone is in the room, you're talking about whatever. And the next thing you do, you open up your phone and there's an ad for that ridiculous thing you were just talking about.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
It's happened to me so many times and I'm just like, whatever. Okay, I bet you people that don't have a great grip on reality to begin with, something like that happens and they are off the rails like, oh, somebody is watching us and monitoring us.
I don't even say it or talk about it. I'm just thinking about something and then I'll get an ad for it. I'm like, this thing knows my entire thought process. My algorithm knows exactly what I'm thinking about. Yeah,
for sure.
It's weird.
It's creepy as fuck. I hate it.
Do you have a chaser, Mom?
I do have a chaser. My chaser is... I survived another trip to Vegas. Yay me. Woo! Sometimes Vegas tries to kill me and it didn't get me this time, but we had a great trip with a whole bunch of friends. Most importantly, everyone survived, but we had some of the best food I've ever had in my whole life.
Wow.
So I highly recommend if anybody's going to Vegas and they're looking for restaurants, go to Lowry's Steakhouse. They specialize in prime rib. It was fantastic.
Lowry's is in the steak seasoning, right? Or the season salt?
Yes, it's in the steak seasoning and the seasoned salt and all of that. They have restaurants. They also have a restaurant in L.A. I don't know if they have more restaurants than that, but a friend of mine told me they have one in L.A. as well. We were at the one in Vegas, and the food was phenomenal. We went to brunch. What's that?
Seasoned salt is a staple in my pantry. So yes, I didn't realize they had an actual restaurant.
So I didn't know that either until we went there.
Actually really cool.
And the food is fantastic. We went to brunch at Sherry's Rooftop. That was, everybody loved their food there. They also gave me a birthday mimosa, so yum. Started the day off great. And then we went to Esther's Kitchen in the Arts District. They're an Italian restaurant. I had the best meatball in my entire lifetime. And if I knew how they made those meatballs, I would weigh 1,000 pounds because I would just make meatballs and eat meatballs. It was so good.
You make great meatballs, Mom. Those Italian meatballs you make are... Next time I'm coming home, you should make a big batch of them and freeze them for me.
In comparison, I'm telling you, if you had that Esther's Kitchen meatball, you would throw mine in the trash in comparison.
I doubt it.
It was, best meatball ever. What's your chaser, Declan?
My chaser is a watch recommendation for the movie Sinners. So we started watching it together and we turned it off.
I finished it.
It is a very slow starting movie. It's a little too long.
Dreadfully slow start.
But it's a vampire movie, and I'm on a hunt for good vampire and werewolf movies that are actually scary. Because when you look up vampire werewolf movies, the first thing that comes up is Twilight, and it's not scary. I want a horror movie. But this was really good. I will say, I didn't realize Michael B. Jordan played Smoke and Stack because of
awful
movie setup. Yeah, because I can't.
They did a great job making him two characters.
Yeah. I thought it
especially
was
in the fight scene
like him until I finished watching it at home on my TV and I was like, oh, it's just Michael B. Jordan as two
just
people.
Him.
But yeah, it's a
have
really
you
good
seen
movie.
It, David?
I have seen it. I have. Yeah.
What did you think?
I have a page called Down the Rabbit Hole Cinematic Universe that I do movie reviews on. I did one for this one. I really think it's the best movie of the year so far.
Yeah, okay. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it did have it was kind of a slow start, but you know, this filmmaker is phenomenal. He's a genius.
I was looking into him. He made a bunch of shit. Like
Ryan Coogler. He did
Creed,
a Marvel
Black
movie.
Panther.
Yeah.
Most of the movies he made are with Michael B. Jordan, but
yeah. Okay.
They're all pretty good movies.
Yeah, the
Creed,
man is
1,
good.
2, and 3. Yeah,
he's
was
going
a really
to
good
do
movie.
X-Files so, next, believe it or not. That's his next project.
Really? Really?
Oh,
yes, a reboot of the X-Files.
Love it.
I think it's going to
be. Is it
going to
be a movie?
No, I think it's going to be the TV version, which is very unusual for a guy who makes these movies and is just really good to go to a TV show. But hey, I love the X-Files. I'm ready for it.
Same.
So. One of my favorite parts about this movie is that Miles Keaton, I guess you could call him the main character. He's a musician and he wrote all the songs for the movie.
Really?
And like performed
that's
them.
Cool.
Yeah. The blues player kid, the preacher boy, he wrote those songs and performed them like he made the soundtrack
sing.
For that movie.
Yes, he can.
He's a
that
really good singer.
Where he's singing
amazing.
At the Duke joint and
in the
you
bar.
Can see like the past and the future. Really?
Yeah.
It was
really
so
insane.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
I just wish it gotten to the point a little faster.
Now, let me ask you guys, this is a spoiler for those who haven't seen the movie. Let me ask you guys, I had never seen the idea in a vampire movie that when the vampire turns someone, right, that person and the vampire himself gets all the knowledge of that person.
Yeah, I've never heard of that
before. All the knowledge of the vampire. Have you ever?
Yeah,
that's like a new thing. I've never heard of that before.
Very interesting.
When they going in even deeper into spoilers, so if you haven't watched, turn it off now. But when they're in the final fight scene and they hit the main vampire, the rest of them feel the pain. I didn't know that in vampire lore that they were all connected.
I've never heard that either. That's a new thing. So those two things were new and very, very, very good. I really like the idea because think about it. In the very beginning, he gets to that house, right? And it's that lady has that gun in his face, but he convinces them, he turns them, and then later they can play music. And know the songs that he sings.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
It's
that's weird.
Super interesting.
It was interesting. I would be interested see a sequel to this movie. Kind of like going.
Yeah.
Almost like an epilogue style. Like going into the.
Oh, going back.
The past.
There
and
is
like kind of explaining
talk
more.
That'd be cool.
Remember the beginning, the Native American vampire hunters that were looking for him?
Yeah. Oh,
they're talking about
a
making
great
a movie
spin.
About that. Like a
that'd be great.
That'd be really
that'd
cool.
Be great.
I would be super interested in that.
Because the main villain, that vampire, that Irish vampire, he was amazing.
Yeah.
And he just spawned in. He just appeared.
Yeah.
And yeah. There's no lore behind him. So
no.
That'd be interesting to see like an epilogue style. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, do you have a chaser for us, David? Kind of throwing you on the spot.
Have you guys seen? Yeah. I just recently saw 28 Years Later, zombie movie.
Oh.
Have
not watched that.
No.
I haven't watched it yet.
I'll just say, you know, I won't give any spoilers because you guys haven't watched it, but so there's three movies, right? There's a 28 Days Later that came out in 2002. Yeah. Then there was a 28 Weeks Later, which if you haven't seen that one, watch that one. It is gut-wrenching. The second one, the good thing about all three movies, they're not connected.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of the second one. I really liked 28 Days Later.
Me too.
But the second one, it didn't like it. It would be good if it was its own movie, I think. But since they're connected, I'm comparing the two, and it's like, that's my only gripe with it.
I love that Jeremy Renner was in it. You know, Rose Byrne was in it. It was very interesting. But the main character, what he did, it broke my heart, man. But anyway, the third movie, 28 Years Later, it's still going on, but very much like the vampire movie we were just talking about, the zombies in this one seem different, evolved. And so it was very interesting. The best part about that, you know, you get that like a apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic life. But the families, the people that were trying to stay alive, you get human drama involved. And it's like, just like if there was no apocalypse, you know? And it was, I thought that was done so well. It was such a good movie.
Interesting. And
I can't recall the guy's name, but he was the lead in Kick-Ass. He was in the recent movie, my goodness. He played Quicksilver in the Marvel movies. He also did...
The lead, Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Thank you. Yes, sir. That's him.
Okay.
He's in this one, and he was great. He was fantastic. The kid who plays, also fantastic. And also, I don't know if you guys know this, but coming in December, a part two to this movie is coming.
Oh,
yes. Oh, really?
Yes.
What are they going to call it, 28 decades later?
It's actually a part two to this one, because at the very end of this movie, you see how it gets like adapted to the next part. And it was well done. Well done movie.
I think I'll have to wait until right before the sequel part two comes out, because if I watch it right now, I will forget.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I saw 28 Days, and I couldn't tell you anything about it, other than zombies.
Like, they were technically not technically zombies. That's what I liked about it. It was like a rage infection. Like, they're still alive, but they want to kill people. Like,
right?
Oh, yeah. Me on a Monday morning.
What I kind of liked about it. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so like I said, they're all separate except for these two that are coming. Angie and I had to watch 28 Days Later again because it's been so long since we watched it. And then we saw part two also just to catch up. But you don't really need to. You don't really need to see those to watch this one. That's a good thing about it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Alrighty, well, I think that just about wraps up today's episode. Feel free to plug anything you want again, David.
I just want to thank you guys for having me. I love this show, and
thank you for coming on and hanging out with us.
My pleasure. So yeah, David from Down the Rabbit Hole. I have a page called Down the Rabbit Hole on Instagram and all sorts of social medias. You can find me anywhere. My podcast, David Don't Know, drops every Thursday, actually every other Thursday. And this Thursday, we do have an episode with Jonathan Robinson. He is a hypnotherapist that specializes in past lives. I did a session with him, and we talk about it. So, yeah.
Awesome.
I love past life stories, man. I think they're fascinating.
Yeah.
That's coming out Thursday.
Cool.
Go check that out, everybody. I know I will be checking it out. So,
absolutely.
Thanks again for joining us, David. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. We'll chat with you later.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye. Love you, bud.
Love you too.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.